We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is now 7:10 here at WCCO. Welcome. You are listening to Steele Talk, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It is what I love to do on a Sunday night, is sit here and gab with you. We got a lot to talk about, don't we? We're starting out right out of the box. You know the election, the primaries are coming up next month, right? Uh-huh. We got to be informed. We got to know what we're doing. And guess who's first? Guess who's up first? Senator Tina Smith. 'Cause wings are made to... You know they're made to fly, right? So get to going, honey. Don't ever be stagnant. That's not my idea of fun. Well, welcome to Steele Talk, and I am so excited to introduce to you our very first interview for the night, because it's time to really take a look at our candidates, right? In order for us to make an informed decision, we must be educated voters. And who are we starting with first? We are starting with Senator Tina Smith, who, of course, was placed in this position by Governor Dayton. She took Al Franken's seat and has been doing a bang-up job in D.C. Welcome to WCCO, Tina. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Geraldine. It's great to be with you. And, you know, I was thinking I was starting to slow down a little bit on Sunday night, but that music got me going. So I'm happy to be with you.
Happy to have you. Okay, first of all, congratulations. You really took this and ran with it. And you've been a part of this big farm bill that recently happened. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I have been really, you know, I hit the ground running when I got into this job, which is the only thing I pretty much know how to do. And I wanted very much to be on the Agriculture Committee. It's such an important part of Minnesota's economy. And this farm bill that the Senate passed a couple of weeks ago is a real bright light of bipartisanship in Congress right now. It is a good bill, and it's interesting. It affects almost every part of life in Minnesota.
What's remarkable about that statement is when you say the word bipartisan and we all sit up and go, what? What bipartisan? To us, it looks like it's not happening at all, that we don't have bipartisanship. Has that been a real challenge for you, even figuring out what committees you would serve on?
Well, there is a lot of disagreement in Washington, and I think that disagreement, I have to say that just because there are some real differences of principles and views. But then you find places where you can work things out and where you can get things done. And I believe that that's what Minnesotans want me to do. I mean, they didn't send me to Washington to run around and light my hair on fire. They are wanting me to find ways to accomplish things. And that's a great example, this farm bill. You know, we hear so much about disagreement, but this bill passed the Senate with 86 votes. So Republicans, Democrats, rural folks, city folks, it got a lot of support.
You know, when you say that we sent you to D.C. to fight, here's the thing. A lot of us don't feel like we sent you there, right? You were sent there by Governor Dayton. I'm very pleased with how things are going for you and what you're doing for the great state of Minnesota. But now the election is upon us. The primary is happening. And we're wondering, are we going to send Tina Smith back? What would you say to the electorate, the Minnesota electorate, who is trying to figure it out? Because there are, you know, several people who are running, what would you say to them about what you will do for the great state of Minnesota?
Well, you make a really great point. You know, I am appointed to this job and I will fill it. And then there's an election. First, of course, there's a primary on August 14th. And then there's a general election in November. And it really is up to the voters of Minnesota to decide whether they want me to complete this term. And then the election will happen again in 2020. And what I would say to Minnesotans is that I have spent my entire life I started out in business. I worked at General Mills and I started my own little company, and I have volunteered and been involved in my community. But my entire life in public service has really been focused on listening to people and then figuring out how to solve problems. And when I talk to Minnesotans all over the state, and boy, I've traveled everywhere since I've been senator, what people are saying to me is, you know, boy, I just want the freedom and the opportunity to live the life, to build the life that I want. And my job in Washington, D.C. is to do everything I can to help make that happen.
How many chances have you had to really get to know the senators from all over the country, making sure that you know exactly who you can go to, who you can start relationships with?
Well, the Senate is a very collegial place. And what that means is that you get things done by building relationships with people and figuring out what are their interests and where are the interests of Alaska, for example, and the interests of Minnesota overlapping. That's a great example. Lisa Murkowski, who's Republican senator from Alaska, mm-hmm. and I have gotten to be worked on some things together and gotten to be very friendly. I used to live in Alaska when I was in middle school. I went to middle school and part of high school in Alaska. Well, Lisa and I, Senator Murkowski and I, are both really concerned about the need for better mental health in our schools. It's a big issue in Alaska. It's a huge issue in Minnesota, too. So we collaborated and put together a bill that helps get more mental health providers in schools. It's part of the big opioid package that passed out of the health committee where I serve, and we're both now pushing to get it through the Senate. So there's an example of how we can find common ground with people, and hopefully for the good of Minnesotans and Alaskans.
But a lot of Minnesotans, as well as the rest of the United States, we have so many voters who are not paying attention. You know, we've got little bits and pieces, little sound bites of information, and we have to really read and research to make sure that we know who we're voting for. Mm-hmm. Yet, you know, you're talking about getting along and starting those relationships so that you can have that bipartisanship and you can work together. Yet we are not seeing that in most of the media, whether it is written media or television. Entertainment media.
Well, it is a great point. There is a lot of friction and a lot of divisiveness, and I don't want to sugarcoat that. That's because there are some real disagreements on big issues. What I'm saying is that there are places where we can work together, but we also really have to hash out these differences. I mean, here's an example of that. You know, I have been in disagreement with the president on a lot of his picks to run his departments. For example, I called on this, you know, Guy Pruitt, who was the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, to resign because I thought he was using that position to benefit himself and not benefit the public. And he did resign. I'm really happy about that. You got to have those fights sometimes and really, you know, work to move things forward.
You are known as being tough, and being a woman in this position, knowing that this was your first political elected, even though you were put in that office, but wasn't this like your first ever where you held a political office?
Well, I had been, when I was lieutenant governor, of course, I ran with Mark Dayton, mm-hmm. and that was for his second term, and I was on the ballot then with Mark, but this will be the first time that I've asked Minnesotans to look at me and my record and who I am and ask them to support me on my, and I'm excited to do that.
You are up against another woman, another man for this position. How do you separate yourself from the other woman, the Republican side, who is coming forward and saying, she wants to take down the Affordable Care Act and that sort of thing. What is your approach to win over Minnesotans?
Well, the first thing I want to note is that Minnesota now has two women senators, with Senator Klobuchar and me. I was the 21st woman to serve in the United States Senate, and there are 100 of us, so we've got a ways to go. And it seems to be sort of the year of a woman in the sense that there are so many women running for office, and I really applaud that. But there are also really significant differences between me and my opponent, my Republican opponent, who I will be up against in November, assuming I win the primary, which I'm confident that I will. And the big difference, I think, is that I stand, one example of our difference is that I stand really squarely in favor of advancing women's health care and standing up for the rights of women to get contraceptive care and reproductive health care. And that has not really been where my opponent has been. She's very much in the Trump camp. She supports Donald Trump. She says she gives him an A. And I'm a little bit more critical of some of the positions that he's taken. But I think it's really important. Voters are going to have a chance to look at both of us and make a decision for themselves. And I'm going to do everything that I can to make the case and to win their support.
Let's talk about President Trump for a moment. It is must be very difficult to lead under the heaviness of all of the press that is coming out now. How do you get your voice heard? How do you let Minnesotans as well as the rest of the country know that we are really working hard here in the Senate? Because it doesn't seem like that to us, right? It seems like this particular president has us constantly reeling and rocking, and it's hard to see what it is that you do. How can we remedy that?
Well, I think that this last week in Washington has been a kind of a new level of low with what happened. To watch the President of the United States stand up next to President Putin from Russia and say, well, he's just as likely to believe President Putin as he is our own intelligence committee, that really gave me great pause. And I think it's dangerous. I think it makes us look weak. And I think it's very important that we have people in the Senate who can be a check and balance against that kind of approach to running our country. I mean, I just don't think that's any way to run a superpower, which is what this country is. So I have to really stand up to that when I think that the president is taking us in the wrong direction. And I'm not afraid to do that.
I'm really glad to hear that, because we need someone that's going to fight for us during this very difficult time, whether it's, actually trying to get rid of this particular president, taking him down, or whether the Emolument Clause and there are those who are going after him to say, hey, you've already done so much wrong. We need to sit you down. However that happens, I'm just curious to know, how is it that with you coming into this office, you've already been there, so I love that you've got the experience. You come in and all of a sudden major changes are happening. Mueller has everything done. We now know what's going on, and you have to step forward as the senator, one of the senators of this great state of Minnesota. Are you prepared to do what needs to be done from that perspective?
I am ready to fight for Minnesota, but also I think what you're raising is a really important point. This is also going to be a time, I think, where we have to really stand up for our democracy. You raised Mueller, and I'm so glad that you did. The integrity of his investigation, this investigation that the president continues to call a witch hunt, we need to stand up for the integrity of that investigation and make sure, the point of that investigation is to get to the bottom of what happened with Russian interference in our elections. How did it happen, and what do we do to make sure that it never happens again? This is core to our democracy, and it's why I was so unhappy to see the president stand next to this president of Russia, who everybody knows people agree that they interfered in our election, and yet mm-hmm. he stands next to him and says he believes them. Those of us in the Senate have to be strong enough to stand up to that and stand up for our democracy.
That's good to know. I have to tell you, that is really good to know. There's a part of me that cries every day as I watch all of this unfold. And I want so desperately to hear more from Congress, whether it's the House of Representatives and, of course, the senators, because the Senate seems to have been very quiet from Mitch McConnell on. There hasn't been much said. There doesn't seem to be any definitive answers for us as the people of Minnesota. How will you in this election run on that, decide how you are going to tell us the truth? Because a lot of Minnesotans are definitely for Trump. I mean, many times we've been told we can be a purple state this year, which I am praying mm-hmm. that not to be true. But mm-hmm. how are you preparing for that?
Well, here's how I see it. And I this is what I've gleaned from talking to so many Minnesotans. Minnesotans want their senators to stand up to the president when he is doing things that is counter to our interests, that is bad for us. But they also want their senator to be paying attention to what's happening to Minnesotans in their lives. This is what I mean when I say that people are trying to figure out how to create opportunity in their own lives, how to build a life that can afford them opportunity. So, boy, one of the things that I hear more than anything else when I talk to Minnesotans is their worries about health care. Health care costs are hurting families. They're hurting our grandparents. They're hurting small businesses. And we've got to do something. We've got to go to work to bring down healthcare costs. I am fighting for that in the Senate. I've introduced a bill that would help bring down the cost of pharmaceutical, you know, the big drug companies are making so much money, and yet people can't afford insulin, for example. Mm-hmm. Those are the things I think Minnesotans want me and their senators to stand up against and to fight for them and healthcare costs.
If we find that you get to go back to D.C. and actually be the senator for the next few years, how will you fight to make sure that it's not just the agriculture communities, which, yeah, of course, we've been adversely affected by some of the tariffs and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I love that you're on that committee. But what other committees would you choose to be on that could also really work for Minnesotans?
I serve on committees right now that I would hope to keep. Those committees really work on the bread and butter issues of life in Minnesota. The Health and Education Committee is working on issues like how can we lower the cost of college for people and how can we get control over the opioid epidemic and how can we lower healthcare costs. I serve on, in addition, of course, the Agriculture Committee. Then I serve on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee. So that committee is working on how can we have a reliable electric grid and what can we do to help our rural electric co-ops and also move to a more energy efficient future that has more clean energy and more renewables. And I serve on the Select Committee on Indian Affairs. This is something I really wanted to do. Minnesota has 11 sovereign tribal nations. These are such incredible, rich communities in our state in so many ways, yet they're also communities where we have a great disparity in income and health outcomes and so many other things. So, you know, what happens in Washington is that there certainly are a lot of, you know, big powerful interests and a lot of money that gets poured into these campaigns. And I feel like my job is to make sure that people whose voices wouldn't be heard otherwise really get heard in Washington. Boy, there's so many places where we see that, whether it's the whether it's Worthington, Minnesota, or whether it's Rondo, where I was yesterday for the Rondo Days parade.
Oh, awesome.
A lot of people's voices need to be heard.
Isn't that the truth? And some of those committees that you mentioned, Senator Al Franken, former senator, also,
yes,
served on some of those committees. So that's really great to hear. Last, yes, but not least, if there's one thing you want us to know about you, what would it be?
Well, what I want everyone to know, that on top of this great responsibility and great joy that I feel in serving Minnesota as your United States Senator, when in a couple of minutes I'm going to go and have dinner with my husband of 34 years, Archie Smith, who we just celebrated our 34th wedding anniversary yesterday. And Archie has a brand new puppy and our kids are coming over for dinner. And isn't that the thing that grounds all of us when the world gets busy and crazy? And that's sort of what keeps me going.
Wow, 34 years. Congratulations to you, Tina. Really, really congratulations. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Having Senator Tina Smith on with us tonight has really meant a lot to me. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sherilyn, and you keep it going. You're doing great.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It is now 7:28 here at WCCO, and if there's one other thing I want to say is that we are also going to present the two other candidates that is coming up in the next half hour. We do hope that you will stick and stay with us. Karen Housley is going to join us running. She's now a state senator. She's running for Al Franken's seat as well. And also Richard Painter, who is running as well. He was actually ethics lawyer or ethics chief, I believe, for George W. Bush. And so we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Stay awake. We got to get this together. Know who we are putting in office here in the great. It is now 7:33 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. And as you've been hearing us talk, the primary is coming up on August 14th. It is imperative that we get out and vote and decide who is going to go to the November election. And the best way to do it is to be educated. And so we're trying to bring on as many candidates as we can all the way up to August 14th so that we can be informed voters. That's one thing we love to be here in the great state of Minnesota. But the information that you learn about about the candidates that you might not have ever heard of before, or you know little about. It is amazing to me how little we get to find out on some of their websites. And so we get to bring them on here at WCCO and hopefully learn and glean as much as we can from who they are and what their agenda will be. Well, I'm excited to introduce to you State Senator Karen Housley. She is running for the U.S. Senate seat of on the Republican side. And of course, that was Al Franken's old seat. And she's joining us tonight to talk about the issues and where she stands. Karen, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hi, Gerald, and thank you so much for having me. And congratulations on your 20th anniversary. That is very cool. That's a long time.
Thank you very much. That's a long time. It didn't feel like it, though. It kind of walked up on me, I can tell you that. Carlos,
it's a lot of hard work. I used to have a radio show myself. I only lasted 9. It's a, it's a lot of work that goes into your prep.
She only lasted 9. 9 is quite commendable. Let's jump right in. You are a Republican. Have you always been a Republican?
No, I wasn't always Republican. I actually grew up in South St. Paul. Both my parents were public school teachers. And when you grow up in South St. Paul, you're just told you're a Democrat. So I just thought my whole life I was a Democrat until I took an internet quiz when I was 35 years old on the issues. And I went, oh, my goodness, all these years I just thought I was a Democrat. I never really looked at the issues. And turns out I'm a Republican. And then becoming a small business owner, it really affirmed my belief in the Republican platform.
You know, when you talk about South St. Paul, I have been here for over 40 years, and I have never lived in a community where everybody believed in the same thing, ever, politically. It was always, you know, a very deep and wide divide at times, or at least, you know, you would have independents that would voice their opinion, that sort of thing. So it really surprises me to hear you say South St. Paul was just, you assumed you were a Democrat. You are now living in St. Mary's Point. Your District 39, tell me what areas are covered by District 39.
Yep. So I live down in St. Mary's Point, right on the St. Croix River. And so we look at Wisconsin every day, and my district goes all the way north along the river to Lakeland, Lakeland Shores, Bayport, Lake Elmo, up to Stillwater, all the way north up to Marine on St. Croix, Franconia, Scandia, and then it goes west over to Forest Lake. So I've got the good residents of the St. Croix Valley and Forest Lake.
Mm-hmm. As a state senator running for this national seat, you know, this is quite different to represent all the people of the United States. You know, Amy Klobuchar is there, Senator Klobuchar. And if you were to make it to that seat, you would be representing us also. So being in a small area right now and then having to represent the rest of the state, how do you feel about that? How will you adjust to representing all Minnesotans?
You know what? And it's what I did do in my Senate district, too, is you just have to listen to everybody. And I think it's so important to listen to the residents of your district or of the state of Minnesota. And right now I am traveling the state. I'm up in Thief River Falls, and then we do Bemidji, Grand Rapids, and Duluth over the next 2 days. And then from there, I go to southern Minnesota, Rochester and Marshall. And it is so fun. We have such a diverse state, from the mines up in the Iron Range to our farmers to our suburban. I'm a suburban mom. So I have to get out there. I have to get out there and listen to what everybody says, and then just make sure I hear them and then bring those issues to Washington, D.C.
I love that you're going all over the state of Minnesota. That is so important and integral. Are you also coming within the urban areas? Have you come over North Minneapolis? Have you gone into downtown St. Paul? Tell me more about what you're doing.
Yep, absolutely. I'm going into all of the neighborhoods when I can, when there's an event that's going on, or to reach out to listen to the folks. And the campaign team has us going to St. Paul, I think, next week on Tuesday to a Asian American event. We're getting, because in order to win this race too, I have to get every Republican that voted in 2016 to come back again to vote in 2018. But I do also have to get the urban voters and make sure that they understand what our message is, and that it's okay to vote for a Republican and a woman Republican. So absolutely reaching out everywhere.
Mm-hmm. You know, being a Republican right now, a lot of people are jumping ship in D.C. A lot of the Republicans are retiring. It seems like the House and the Senate can't seem to get along with the Democrats. And so a lot of people are leaving. How do you see going into, if you were to get this job, going into that Senate seat, how do you see that working well with so much division right now? So much changeover.
Right. And that's exactly one of the reasons I am running, is because Minnesotans are so frustrated with the swamp and them not getting anything done. There's so much divisiveness and extremism on both sides of the aisle, people digging their heels in and not working together. And that's what I did in the Minnesota Senate. I was sort of known as a moderate conservative in getting things done. Because if you're going to continue to fight like they are in D.C., nothing gets done. And you don't want to bring that home. When you vote somebody into office, whether it's city council or school board or state legislature or D.C., you're voting them to go there, represent you, and get something done. So people are very frustrated with Washington, D.C., and them not getting anything done. So I plan to go there, work across the aisle, and to really work hard for Minnesotans to get things done.
And what will you work on?
Right now, the way the country is going, our unemployment's at its all-time 18-year low. The economy is booming. So I think some more policies that can help continue the way that the country is going. And then I've specialized in the Minnesota Senate. Kind of my passion is elder care. I formed the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee in the Minnesota Senate to really focus on the issues that are facing our elderly, and our baby boomers are turning 65-plus. Thousands every day in the United States. So really focusing on those issues is something that I'm passionate about and that I want to focus on in D.C.
Are you interested in education? You have four children yourself, as well as two grandchildren, right?
Yes, I do. Two grandbabies. And I think that's what just really hit me is I knew our country was going to be okay, but we were going to leave my four kids. They were going to be five, but fine. But when it came to the grandkids, I started to worry about where is our country going? And so that got me even more passionate about making sure that we win this seat. But both my parents were public school teachers. I sent all of my kids to public schools in the Stillwater area. And I'm very passionate about education and making sure that our kids get a good education, whatever kind of education that is. And I do think education is left best up to each state to decide, and within the state, each school district. I think sometimes you get a one size fits all, and it doesn't fit the student in Minneapolis it's a different curriculum than maybe they need up in Thief River Falls. So I think leaving that to the locals to decide, how nobody knows better for their kids in their community than the people who are local, the parents and the local school board. So that's how I feel about education.
So you are a proponent of public schools.
Oh, yes.
That's great news because, of course, Secretary DeVos, Secretary of Education, is one who is not, right? And so how will you work? What is your strategy to work to make sure that public schools for all are still possible?
And again, it has to come back to the states. I mean, whatever each state, Minnesota is definitely different than New York. One of our kids went to school in New York. So, and nobody wants Washington, D.C. deciding what is best for their child in South St. Paul, Minnesota. And I think government needs to get out of the way when it comes to educating our kids, and they always want to big brother it. And I think that's the most important thing, because nobody knows what's better for our kids here in Minnesota than Minnesotans.
However, Karen, you and I both know that Minnesota is very blessed. You know, we have people who really care about education, work hard at education, and make sure that it is funded. In other states throughout the United States, you know, you've got some of the southern states where it is terrible. The students are not learning anything. They don't have the support that they need. And so it's a whole different story. And when you have someone that's the Secretary of Education who says, hey, you know what, I'm really thinking more about getting rid of public education altogether, that has to be a challenge as well. So we're blessed here in the great state of Minnesota, but it doesn't mean that it'll always be that way. Are you saying that you will absolutely work hard as the Senator of Minnesota to make sure that public education is always available for our children?
Absolutely, because each one of our kids was born in a different state or country, and they were all educated differently, and I could hardly wait to get back to Minnesota because I remember the education I was brought up with in the public schools, and really fighting for those kids too is very important to me. But again, we are lucky here in Minnesota, and I will be representing Minnesotans. I'm not representing anybody in the South or the West or the East. I'm representing Minnesotans, so I'm always going to do what's best for our kids back here.
All right, let's quickly talk about Affordable Care Act. I understand that initially you were totally against it. You wanted to see it taken down. You wanted to get rid of it. Is that still the case for you?
Well, it didn't pass. The repeal of Obamacare did not pass. There's too slim of a majority in the U.S. Senate, so it didn't pass. I think there are some good things in it that I think whatever they do going forward, they need to consider, you know, the pre-existing conditions or keeping your child on the health care until they're 26 years old. I think there's some good things in there. I don't think we had to throw the baby out with the bathwater when they got rid of. We had a really great healthcare system here in Minnesota that we should have tweaked it, but instead government decided to do again the one size fits all, and that wasn't what was best for Minnesotans. They saw their health care costs, insurance premiums go up by 40%, so that didn't work. And then we had that extra layer of MnSure on top of Obamacare here back in Minnesota, so it wasn't. It didn't work, and people couldn't afford the Affordable Care Act. So there definitely needs to be some sort of reforms to that when Congress gets back and discusses it.
Okay, in December, when you first let everyone know that you were running for this particular seat, you said, I want to get rid of Obamacare or Affordable Care Act. But when they asked you what would you replace it with, there really wasn't an answer. What is your answer today?
Well, and again, that's something that needs to be discussed. I'm not there. I'm not on the healthcare committee. I'm here in Minnesota listening to Minnesotans. So I think when there's something in front of me, when somebody has a proposal, what we do need to do is open it up to the free market. We need to be able to buy healthcare insurance across state lines like we do with our car insurance, like GEICO. It would make it much more affordable. I think that's something we need to look at. We also need to look at nobody knows better than you and your doctor what kind of health insurance you need and what you need when it comes to health care. Not everybody has the same needs. An 18-year-old woman doesn't have the same needs as a 55-year-old man. So that needs to be more patient-centered and discussed with your doctor. So I think there's some ideas out there that I think we could apply and reform.
May I ask what type of health care insurance your family has?
You know what? We have two different kinds. We have two different kinds. My husband, with his job as the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, has one health care insurance. I have a different one with the state of Minnesota. And each one of the kids, they're now all, well, not the youngest one, the 20-year-old, she is still on my health insurance plan. And the other ones all have their own.
If I was sitting in front of you right now, I would so ask of you to consider why Minnesotans want what you have. You have the Minnesota insurance through your job as a state senator. Why can't we all individually have that as well? Why wouldn't you want us to?
Well, I can tell you, it was 2012. The Republicans voted for just that, and the Democrats didn't. And then we had it. If all of Minnesotans can't have this health insurance plan that we have at the state of Minnesota, we shouldn't be able to get that either. Republicans voted for that and Democrats didn't. So this was all this all came from the Democrats not letting the people of Minnesota have the same health insurance and not taking it and being the only ones that could have it.
Karen Housley, state senator right here in the great state of Minnesota. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. If people want more information, what website is it?
Thanks so much, Geraldine, and good luck on Monday night at your dad's club. It is HousleyForSenate.com.
HousleyForSenate.com. Come on down to hear us tomorrow night. I'd love to meet you.
Okay. Thanks, Geraldine.
Thanks, Karen. All right. We're going to take a break, and coming up next is Richard Painter. It is now 7:51 here at WCCO. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. You are listening to Steele Talking, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. We are introducing you to all of the candidates that are running for the Al Franken Senate seat, and we've heard from Tina Smith. We've heard from Karen Housley, who is a Republican, and now we're hearing from the challenger of Tina Smith, and this is all happening on August 14th. That's the primary. We got to get out and vote, so listen and learn. Write things down as you learn about them. Richard Painter is joining us now, a former White House counsel for George W. Bush, President George W. Bush, for the administration. And now he has moved more to the left. I call him a centrist, and he is challenging Smith for the DFL slot on the November ballot. Richard Painter, welcome to WCCO.
Thank you very much.
You know, sir, I have to tell you, my mother adores you. I just need you to know that. We are raging Democrats, and she just adores you. She watches all the time waiting for your interviews on MSNBC and CNN. So welcome again to CCO. Let's jump right in and talk about who you are, first of all. You have served a president before. You know what that's like. You have been the ethics counsel to that particular president. And some people will look at that and say, well, that didn't work out too well, because a lot of us look at President George W. Bush as unethical in many ways. How do you reason with that?
Well, I worked on the financial conflicts of interest issues for members of the administration, and telling them they had to sell stock before they took jobs in the administration. For example, the Treasury Secretary, Hank Paulson, I told him he had to sell his Goldman Sachs stock before he became Treasury Secretary. And I believe I did that job very well. We did not have conflicts of interest with most of the executive branch officials, certainly the ones who came in when I was there, over financial conflicts of interest. Vice President Cheney, of course, refused to take any advice from my staff, and he did what he did. But the bottom line is, I was a financial conflicts of interest lawyer, and I enjoyed taking that 2.5 years off from my academic career to do that. I've been a law professor since 1993, working on corporate ethics and lawyers' ethics and a range of different issues, and it was certainly a great experience to work in Washington hands-on and deal with the challenges. I got to say, campaign money, a campaign finance system, is a terribly corrupting influence on both political parties. I saw a lot of that when I was there. And one thing I have to say on policy issues, I don't think I've moved to the left at all. The Republican Party has moved dramatically to the right, and is so far off the right end of the political spectrum that it's completely unrecognizable for people like former Governor Arnie Carlson, Minnesota. He backs my campaign, former Republican. He's telling everybody to vote for Democrats in the fall. So this is the Republican Party's problem, what's happened to the party, and it's really very tragic.
The great state of Minnesota hasn't turned purple just yet, and so they know, or they will know, that you have been a Republican for over 30 years, and now that you are more of a centrist, which you say you have always been here, how will you convince them that you are the DFL candidate of choice to go back to D.C.?
Well, I'm going to focus on the issues. More and more people in this state are concerned enough about health care and the cost of health care to want a single-payer health care system, Medicare for all. That's what I back. We need to get the prices down for drugs and medical devices, cut the insurance companies out of the action. This isn't a left-right issue. This is a matter of concern for every American, every Minnesotan. I'm for conservation of the environment. Whether that's a conservative cause or liberal cause, I don't really care. I'm for conservation of the environment. That means sulfide mining up north. I think we ought to be flat-out prohibited sulfide mining near major waterways. And I'm very, very disappointed that not only the Republican Party, but the Democratic Party, including Senator Smith, are backing sulfide mining in Minnesota and the Polymet mining proposal. I'm categorically against that. And last, Donald Trump, he has to go. And I'm willing to say he needs to be impeached. And needs to be removed from office. I expect to have hearings of the House and Senate Judiciary Committee next January. I'm going to demand that. If I'm in the Senate, I'm going to insist on them having hearings, as they did in 1973 for Richard Nixon. And Richard Nixon was very popular in 1973, but that didn't stop them from having hearings. And by August 1974, they had both him and the vice president out of there. And I think that's where we are right now. We need to stand up to Donald Trump. So, this is not a left-right issue. I'm not interested in all the ideology. I'm interested in issue and getting rid of Donald Trump and Mike Pence.
You have been speaking of that for a very long time, as far as I'm concerned. In fact, you actually spoke out about the emoluments. In fact, you're part of an organization called CRU, where there was a lawsuit against President Trump, because he would not take his money, he would not stop investing, or he didn't divest, if I'm not mistaken, in his own businesses. And so with this emolument clause, where does that stand now? Are you still dealing with this? Is CRU still dealing with that?
Still has a lawsuit pending that's being appealed to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals in New York. There's another lawsuit brought by the Attorney General of the State of Maryland that I was involved in advising them on. That has survived the motion to dismiss brought by the president. So the judge is going to find whether there's been a violation of the Emoluments Clause. This clause talks about foreign government money, profits and benefits going to the President of the United States in violation of the Constitution. It's a flat-out violation of the Constitution. What's going on is not a partisan issue of blue versus red issue. And what is embarrassing, really shameful, is that the United States House and Senate Judiciary Committees are not inquiring about these foreign government payments. We have no idea whether this president is borrowing his money. We know that nobody in the United States will loan him money starting about 1995, so over 20 years. But we don't know where he's borrowing his money. Robert Mueller may know, but House and Senate Judiciary Committee ought to be finding out. And that litigation, we're hoping to find out with Crewe. But that's really the job in the House and Senate, and that's one of the things we need to get going. We get a new House and Senate in there in January.
All right. We have about 30 seconds left. I want to make sure that the people get your website, and I do apologize we don't have more time with you. What is your website, sir?
Our website is painterminnesota.com, and I'm running for the Senate in the DFL primary on August 14. You could, of course, vote early. I'm hoping that my fellow Minnesotans will ignore all the partisan claptrap here. This is not about blue versus red. This is about common sense. We need single-payer health care. We need to protect our environment, stop the sulfide mining up north, and we need to get rid of Donald Trump and Mike Pence. And that's my platform.
All right, Richard Painter, thank you so much. And I hope that you also will make sure that he is taken down for treason as well. Thank you so much.
You bet.
All right, we got to take a break, sir. Thank you for everyone who joined us tonight talking about this. Stay informed. We got to get it done.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.